Human beings do strange things, behave differently when they come across babies. Have you noticed that? Their voice often changes tone. Their faces start to be contorted. They do these strange things with their eyebrows, the frowny thing, and then there's the pouty bit that they do with their mouth as well, and then sounds come out along the lines, "Oh, he's so cute." And the words get longer, and they start speaking in a strange language. You've all seen it, and you've probably all done it. Yes. Isn't it interesting that we go all gooey-eyed about little babies in just that way? Why do we do it? Well, one, I think we see something in that tiny, tiny child, just a small representation of the perfect human being, unsullied by life on the outside, so to speak. But more than that, I believe that what people see in a beautiful newborn child is just a glimpse of the perfect creative hand of God at work. And the psalmist knew that very well when he wrote, "I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made." It's amazing when you look at a newborn baby, isn't it? You look at those tiny, tiny creatures and we glimpse something of the wonder of God, of his goodness, his creative, life-breathing power instilled into this small child, and we are filled with awe. And almost all people do it, even if they don't know the one whose creative hand is causing them to have such a reaction of awe. You look, and there in front of you, little baby. I was thinking about it in the last few days. And you look at those tiny fingers. Fingers that are a bit like yours, but absolutely tiny fingers and toes. But they can move already. Those little creases, you seen them in the knuckles. And you just, amazing. Oh, sure, they've not developed all the articulation and the capacity, the skills that come with learned behavior. But the potential to do just that is all there. And the complexity, such a finger that can do that with a tiny little fingernail on the end, perfectly designed to do the protective work that it does. Minute, so small. And God did that. God did that. And then the baby itself, the rest of it. What do you call it? This whimsy, whiffly kind of hair that they have. The eyelashes. Minute. But already the baby is able to do the job of protecting itself. So that when it blinks, its eyes are looked after. The soft skin, still able to protect its body. And within that, all the complexity of what's going on underneath. Lungs that work so well it can yell the house down. A digestive system that can squirt stuff everywhere. And a heart that is already forming a regularity, already counting out and pumping with a regularity of the first of just a few out of this 3.6 billion heartbeats that it will give in the rest of that life of that individual on average. Isn't it astounding? No wonder we are filled with awe, because we're not just looking at new life, we're looking at God's creation, his handiwork in new life. And we read, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Fearfully in the sense of a reverence and awe that all this is possible because of the power of God, and wonderful in the sense of the complexity that takes place. That fine detail, the potential and the purpose of the life that he's created. and we are made in the image of God. And the image of God doesn't mean physically. So I'm pretty confident that God doesn't have blue eyes and slightly fading eyesight and a little bald patch on the back. That's not who God is in that sense. And we're all physically different, but we're all made in the image of God. So what is it? Well, made in the sense of having a intended to have a spiritual connection to God, intended to be able to live a life of love and interaction and compassion that is characteristic of the power of God, of who God is. His love, His grace, His patience, and the potential is all there in God's design because we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And He's the one who did the building. This week, I visited Mick and Angie. They don't know I'm going to say this, so I hope you don't mind. If you do, tell me afterwards. And I also visited Mick's shipyard. Did you know Mick has a shipyard? Yep. It's actually a bedroom or a room in the house where he is making a ship, HMS Victory, and he's putting it together himself. And he was telling me about all the unique detail that goes in to this work of creation. But he's the builder, and only he knows the intricate workmanship, every little piece and component that goes into it. He's been working on it for some time. I remember being there, it was about a couple of years, isn't it, at least? Oops, even longer. And I remember at the start him laying down the keel and then starting to work on the hull. And now there are decks in. It's much more advanced. And he's putting more of the detail in. But there are no masts as yet. But it will come. But he was telling me about how each piece is cut out and crafted and shaped or sanded or painted, varnished, fixed, glued, put in place, however it all operates. Only Mick knows the detail of that. And one day, as Angie's hoping, it will be finished. And when it is finished, he will be able to look at it. And he alone will know all that has gone on in the detail in that beautiful creation. And maybe you have had similar feelings. You'll have probably all made something that is special. It could be some furniture that you've made or a room that you've just decorated just perfectly. Maybe a meal, a recipe that's special, an item of clothing, a picture, John, that you've painted and coloured in beautifully. Whatever it might be, you probably all thought you could just step back and look at it and think, wow, I know what went into that, the love and care, that's special. Well, the psalmist is saying just that. And he is recognizing that in his own life, he's just getting a glimpse of God's handiwork. But only God knows the true design and attention that went into it. We read, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made." So the first encouragement I want to give to all of you this morning is this. Do you know how unique and special you are in God's eyes? Do you know that you are fearfully and wonderfully made? Because the tragedy is, so many people don't. They don't know how special they are. Because in the complexity of your life, He made you. He gave you life. And all the potential and the 3.6 billion heartbeats that come after that, God did that for you. Do you know how special you are? We read on in the passage, we read, "Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came into being." He knows all that makes you tick and all that you'd become. He knows you personally. He knows you intimately. He knows your inmost being. The question is, do you know how special that you are to him? Well, if that's my first encouragement to you, and some of us need to be reminded of that, my second is, do you realize that that's also true and unique for everybody sitting around you? They are also special in God's eyes, because each person around you was also knitted together in the womb of their mother. And they are all precious and special. Yeah, that means the person sitting next to you right now. So just take a minute, have a look. Just look at God's beautiful, creative handiwork. Isn't it amazing? Now, some of you might be sitting next to your spouses, so I'm going to assume a certain degree of bias on your part. So you need to look beyond and see someone else and see God's handiwork in those people. Be amazed. See them through God's eyes. Now, yes, I know there might be a little bit rough around the edges, one or two. You know, of course, we all get wear and tear. But think about it. Even a beautiful baby has the capacity to make noises, smells, and deposits that are horrifying. But we still see God's beautiful creation in them. So should we in all the people around you. So going back and using a language I used just a few moments ago, I want to encourage you to see that sitting around you is an armada of beautifully crafted vessels. And that is the reason why we should surely be so much more to each other than just ships passing in the night. I really want to encourage you to see God's special touch in everyone around you. Of course, sometimes we struggle, don't we, to see God's beautiful creation, especially as we get a little older, because we see the wear and tear, which causes me to ask a serious but rather uncomfortable question. When a child is born with a severe disability, is that child still fearfully and wonderfully made? What happens when a child is born who is different from what we might consider to be the norm? They're born deaf or blind or Down syndrome or have learning difficulties. The body doesn't quite function in the way that some others do. What about them? Well, for many people in the world, this is a real issue. For people in our nation, having a child with a severe disability is a real challenge. It is a problem. There's confusion. There's uncertainty. There can be fear. Fear for the future. How will they get on? Will they suffer? How will they be looked after? Will they be able to get on at school like other children can? And then later in life, will they have a children and family as others do? Well, that's the problem that we will have in our country. But I want to say to you that in some countries and some cultures, that fear and the shame that comes with it can be even more significant. And that's what was alluded to in that film from Thailand. A disabled child is a stigma for both the family and the community. So the parents can be suspected of having done something wrong. So the child's condition is, in some respect, a punishment because of what they have gone and done or been through. Well, I've lived in Thailand and I've lived in Africa, and in both of those sets of cultures, children born with disabilities have a really tough time, and I've seen it firsthand. Parents can be looked down upon, and as a result, there can be fear. Some babies are literally taken into the forest and left rather than endure the shame and what might be persecution that would come their way or the parents' way. And in Thailand, one of that things that influences the culture is perhaps the Buddhist belief in karma. You know, karma, what goes around comes around. If you get it, you deserve it. That sort of idea. And I saw firsthand, because I went to a couple of funerals of people, of things that happened, and they'd lost their lives. And I saw sometimes a lack of sympathy. Because people say, well, clearly they must have deserved it. Well, that stubborn attitude was also very prevalent in Jesus' day. And it was demonstrated by the testimony of the disciples who were talking about the man who was born without sight. This is what they said, speaking to Jesus, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" There's already an assumption someone is at fault. But Jesus turns that accusation, that looking for guilt, looking for responsibility and blame, he turns that around and he is adamant. And he asks a question. He says, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him." He completely destroys the myth that children are disabled because of sin, either theirs or their parents. Instead, he suggests they ask another question. And that question comes across, if you read a more modern, paraphrased version of the Bible, written by Peterson. And in the Message, we read for John 9 this, Jesus says, "You are asking the wrong question. You're looking for someone to blame, but there is no cause and effect here. Look instead for what God can do." Two choices. Look for what or who has caused this, or look to what God can do. Because disabilities, physical, learning, health, mental health issues, disabilities that come with age can have an enormous challenge on individuals, and they can cause children and adults to suffer, their families to suffer. And as is so often the case, when that happens, it is the easiest thing in the world to look for blame. How? Why has this happened? And can we understand it and describe it? Jesus turns that around, and he turns that stigma into an opportunity. And he invites them to ask a different question. What can God do? And then he illustrates what God can do by the healing of this man. The blind man, he uses his own saliva and mud from the ground. He uses something of himself and something to hand, and then allows the power of God to do something remarkable and bring healing as he washes in the pool of Siloam. And the people saw an impossible situation. They saw guilt, someone's responsible, and Jesus turned that from an inconvenience or even a punishment, and he turned it into the hand and the power of God being revealed. I wonder when we see children or adults with a disability, do we see them as an inconvenience to be avoided? Do we try and wonder what's caused this? Who's at fault? Or do we see an opportunity to ask, what can God do? And even dare to wonder, what can I bring from what is around to the party to do something amazing? And I'm not always talking about the miraculous healings that Jesus demonstrated 2,000 years ago, in that case involving saliva and mud. I'm talking about God doing amazing things in our world today, because I believe that's precisely what he was doing in that video in Thailand, where the question was asked, what can God do? And I think you saw it. Do you remember the name of the house that they're living in? Do you remember its name? Hope Home. For some of the most disadvantaged children who you might think have no future, no hope, or an inconvenience, a frustration, there is now hope and opportunity. Tarda, Phil, Natalie, and all the other children who live at Hope Home are loved and they love, and they have opportunity to be fostered, to be adopted. They might not have all the ability to do all things that all other children do, but they have some amazing potential, and all of their potential can be fulfilled and is fulfilled, I believe, in that environment. They are empowered. They are given a sense of value, community, an opportunity to love and know love. And surely as you looked at it and you saw the beaming faces and the contentment that came with that, you saw that they too can live a life in absolute fullness. Well, Jesus said, I come that you may have life and have it abundantly. And I believe abundant life is not measured by the amount of physical things you can do, the places you can go to, the money that you have, the stuff that you accumulate. It is a life which overflows with good things that include spiritual, physical, social, economic wholeness. Things that none of us possess in entirety, but we work as we journey through life with Jesus to discover. And I believe that's what we saw in that video. And it doesn't mean that these children will ever be able to run 100 meters. It doesn't mean they might ever be able to feed themselves. But they know the fullness of the love of Jesus. And they are made to know that they are special. They are fearfully and wonderfully made and have the same value as any other child anywhere in the world. And I'm even going to dare to say, I suspect those children know that more than an awful lot of fully able-bodied children in our society. They're made in the image of God. Not bones, tissues, eye colour, things like that. But designed to have a spiritual link with God. And designed to have all the fundamental needs of life met. Do you remember when we looked at who we are and our identity in Christ months ago now? We looked at the three things that all human beings fundamentally need: acceptance, significance, and security. And those children had it in spades in Hope Home. I hope today we don't look at children, just those children, just with pity. But I hope we celebrate with them and we give thanks for what God is doing through those children and through the team that BMS is working with out there. It's a place where the love of God is shown and where everybody gets to enjoy and know the significance, security, and acceptance that God wants for them. So what about us? What about our church community here at Parsons Heath? Well, at present, we have no disabled children to whom we can pour out the love of God and show that kind of expression. But what of all the other people, the people who are sitting all around you? We're a church where most people are feeling their age, where disability starts to come, where infirmity begins at a different stage. And that's just here. And who knows who God will bring to us and when? And who knows who the people are that you might meet on a daily basis? I wonder what potential there is for us to create truly a Hope Home. To see people who have disabilities that could be looked at even if it comes with old age, as something that is inconvenient, perhaps not very attractive, perhaps causes us some pressure and struggles, and others might want to avoid, and we could turn that instead and ask the question, what can God do, which is amazing in this situation? Just as we do and follow the example of Jesus and bring a little bit of ourselves and use whatever it is to hand and invite the power of God to do something special. And if each of us were to bring just what we have, well, what is to hand? It could be anything. It could be your telephone to just phone someone up and share with them. Make sure they know they are precious and special. For so many people, as they get older, there is a sense that they become insignificant in society. No such thing in the kingdom of God. Do we show it? It could be the thing that you have to hand is not a bit of mud to bring some healing, but a kettle or a table to invite someone to come and just enjoy some time with you. The ability to push a lawnmower for somebody. The ability to paint a door that needs painting and someone's struggling to do it. And show people that they have value and significance. And invite the love of God to do something amazing as we just bring ourselves and whatever it is to hand. Know that you're special. Know that everyone else around you is special. And let's make sure that no one gets the opportunity to feel that they don't have that value and significance as we seek to be a people who bring hope to this home of God. Let's pray.